Okay, so we were talking last week about mitavich. The halacha is called mitavich, which means a broker. And the common shailas that come up. So we said over that the yisoid of a broker is that he's a poel and he's a mehaniyu. So it means one oifen is you ask the guy, go get me a deal. Brought you a deal, and you have to pay him like a poel. There's another oifen, even if you did not ask him, he's like the goyin says, the gross says in shacharach, he's like yoyed l'sech sadech averoi, and he's like mehaniyu. So since he was Mahana, you have to pay him for that Hana. There's a Geshmak example of this, a good Shaila that came up, which is that somebody provided a, somebody has like a seasonal business, and last year they asked a certain website or certain publication to publish their ad. You know, we sell Hanukkah, whatever, toys. So the next year, they published the ad again. And the Maisa, they never asked them to publish the ad. And business was generated through that ad. So now, that ad is essentially a mitavich. They're broke, right? They're telling people about this business, right? So the first year, you had to pay them because they were like your poil. You asked them to advertise for you. But this year, you didn't ask them to advertise for you. But the Maisa, they gave you hana. So it's the other din. So it's two separate dinim. So they're like your broker in this case. And you have to pay them.
Consciously did it on the behalf, or was it a glitch? And they just, I'm saying, did it.
What? They probably said, look, these people have been running this ad for the last couple of years. We didn't hear from them, but we'll throw it in.
And then build them.
And then build them, of course. So they said, no, we're not going to pay you. So the halacha is you don't have to pay them the full amount that they paid the year before. Because to pay the full amount is only if you take a hire the person, or you have to pay the partial amount that you got on up. So there is such an idea like that. Okay. So but that's a Geshmaka example of where this happened. Okay, now. What? It's a very good question, because you're saying the amount is the hana, so the hana is what it costs to advertise. So essentially, isn't that the same what it would cost the first year? So it's the minimum that you would, it's not the full amount, let's put it that way. It's not the full amount because the people are charging to make money. You're not mechuyev that they should make money, but you're mechuyev to pay for what you got out of it. So, you know,
does a year have to be going with Dafka to make money? A lot of times, like in business for sure, people are like, you know, networking and connecting people. And then they find out, you know, they connect to people and they're like, wait, I could have got paid for that.
Right.
You know, wasn't there a basic?
So they get paid like the second day, not the first day. But that's still, you still get schus for that. Now, a common shaila is I put two people together for a deal. And then they went on ahead and made a second deal. Do you get anything on the second deal? So, what's the minigal oilam on that?
It depends on the right.
Depends on what you wrote.
Depends on the deal.
What?
Yeah. Usually it's less on the first time. Depends on the kind of deal. But
depends. Every
okay, so if there's a minig standard on that, then it's minig standard on that. If there wouldn't be, then in halacha strictly, pastors, you would not have to pay for money. Because that's already not part of the tivuch. And there's a riot to it from the Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer has a Gevaltika Shaila of, there was a guy that was Meshadich, made a Shidduch. And there's two Eifanim of the Shaila. But basically he made the Shidduch. And more or less after daughter A married daughter B, so then after daughter A married son A of the other family, so daughter B married son B of the other family without the shadchan. So is there any shadchanus on the second shidduch? Right, the same case. But he has another case where the Avnei Nezer has another case where daughter A goes out with son A of the two families. It didn't work out. And then, but the two families are like, look, you know, I have a different son, and she ended up marrying a different son, a different child of that family. So instead of the one that this shidduch was for, so Avnei Nezer wants to say maybe over there it's different. There, Taka, he says that since the ikar of the shidduch was to work out the tzadim, and they were giving the same, the tzadim were agreeing to the same you know, nadon and the same whatever it was on the tzedim for this shidduch. So therefore, really, his doing. So he has a shayla there, but residual is a shayla. But I wanna talk about a different shayla, which that taka there's writing in the Paiskim about. There's a tshuva in the Rosh, and then there's a tshuva in Igros Maisha, and the Neid Yehuda about it. So that's what I want to go through, because these shaylas you can go on forever with all these types of shaylas. But let's bring it down. So I you still have the pamphlet here. So the shayla is going to be the shayla that in the last page is a tshuva from the Rosh, tshuva sarosh. So the tshuva sarosh goes like this: Gishmak a shayla. The shayla is that Shimon Shishaltim, Shimon Shaya Sarsol Sharuven Limkar Basin. So Shimon was hired by Ruvain to go sell his house. He hires Ruvain, he says, Ruvain, Ruvain hires Shimon, and he says, Shimon, go find me a buyer. Shimon comes and he says, I have a buyer for you, I have Levi. So Ruvain says, Levi, I can't sell it to Levi. I hate Levi. He's the one person that I cannot sell it to. So the Rosh says, since, even though the Shiloh of the Rosh is like this, but there's a lot of fallout from the Rosh. The Shiloh of the Rosh is, Lemais, the guy did his shlichus. And this is what the Shiloh we ended up with last week, which is you hire a guy to make a custom suit for you. And then he makes you the custom suit and you're like, yeah, I don't like it. I got a different one. Anyway, I did what you asked me to. So what about here? I sent a guy to go ahead and buy for me this, find me a buyer. So Reuven sends Shimon, go buy me a buyer, go get me a buyer. And Shimon gets me the buyer. And then I don't like it. Okay, you know what? I'm going elsewhere. So you have to pay. So the Rosh says you don't have to pay the broker unless the deal closes with this buyer. That's understanding. It's even though he sent you on a shlis. Of course, if it's a case of nana, you don't have to, right? Because that's obvious. You didn't ask him to do it, so he brought you a deal. You don't like it. That's not nana. But even if you asked him to go and you hired him to be a broker for you, and he brought you a buyer, and the buyer would have agreed to your tanoim, you have a problem that you don't like the guy. Why should so did the broker do his job or not? So the Rosh says the broker, it's not considered the broker did his job. He has to get a buyer that you want to close with, and therefore you don't have to pay him for that. Fine. The question that's the yisoid of the Rosh in the Tshuva, and that's what we spoke last week, that the difference between a broker and a tailor, if you hire a guy to make a suit for you and you say, yeah, I don't like it in the end, it's too late because the smich is das there. But in the case of the broker, there's no smichas das until the deal closes. Okay? Now, and therefore, by the way, in shadchanos, it's the same way. You only pay shadchanos theoretically if they get married.
Our shadchanos already start charging you for the time because they spend so much time dealing with everyone.
It depends. There's two types of shadchanos. If you ask the guy, be the shadchan for my kid, so that's one thing. If the guy's just offering you a shidduch, so then why should you pay if nothing happened? The question is if they get engaged and then they break it. So according to the Tshuva Sadeshin, you don't have to pay. The question is what happens if they paid already? A lot of times they pay by the Vart. And then something happens afterwards. So do you have to pay there? So there, the place can assume that if you paid, that means that you're being moichel the taina, that if it breaks afterwards, you're going to get your money back. But there was it's on page 3 in the pamphlet, is the Ramos talks about it. The Ramos says, Hago, Hashadchan have a koisar, so Rima Shadchan roitzi shishalmu le miyad, schar shadchan usay, vabaylim enam roitzi mul shalim, ara nisuin. They don't want to pay until the wedding. Toli b'minag ha-medina. Uvimokim she'ena minag hadinim ha-baylim. Okay, so you don't have to pay till the wedding. Now, he wanted to tie the Gavaldika shtickle here. He says, why? Because if they don't get married, I didn't gain anything from your shidduch. Very nice, he got engaged. I didn't gain anything from the shidduch. So he said, but there was a minig in certain places that whichever side breaks the shidduch has to pay a heavy knas to the other side. They have to pay a fine to the side that they broke the shidduch from. So the shadchan tanya is, look, I didn't get you a shidduch, but I got you some money. I got you the fine. So I got you some good money for the kenas. So after that, you should pay me. I got you a good deal. You got some money. So that was the sma brings down this taina, that you should have to pay the guy for bringing him the kenas. So he says, no, the whole point of kenas is to cover for the embarrassment. You helped me. You embarrassed me to the point that now the only way I can get over my embarrassment is that the guy pays me. That's not called you gave me anything. So therefore, since the purpose of the kenas is only to get out of the busha, so the sma, if you look here in the sma, we're in Chof Dalet, that's his shakal v'tari. I'm not going to read it inside. That's his shakal v'tari there that he says, you don't get money for the kenas. Okay? But akoponim, it's clear from him, you only get the money, that's a truma sedeshin, if the deal closes. And that the soid is from the rosh in the truma. Okay. Now what happens? The reason this rush is very important is because the Noida Yehuda has a follow up question, and this is on page one of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the page one is in Simin Kuf Pehei Chosha Mishpat Simin Kuf Pehei Sivvav. So it says over there the Rama Reuven Hayolei Bayis Limkar Uba Shimon V'Sirser L'Moichoy L'Levi. Same case, right? Reuven had a house. He hired Shimon as the broker. Shimon went ahead and found Levi. V'amar Reuven, Shalevi Soina, I don't like him. Meina writes the Limkar Loi. V'achakach, but yeah, it says, V'achakach mochoy le Levi, yadayachar. Chayev litin le Shimon, sasar usai. So the Rosh doesn't end there. What was the story? So again, Reuven hired Shimon to be the broker. Go get me a buyer. Shimon gets him Levi. Reuven tells Shimon, Levi, I can't stand Levi. I never sold my house to Levi. Get out of here. Lo and behold, 2 months later, he closes with Levi with a different broker. Right? Maisim b'cholyon. Maisim b'cholyon. So zokt the rosh. They have to pay Shimon, the broker, the first guy. You got to pay him. Now, the Noida Yehuda takes this one step further. Noida Yehuda comes to explain the rush. And he says, let's take it one step at a time. He says, let's say Reuven told Shimon, get out of here, I don't like Levi. Then he goes ahead and closes with Levi on his own. So he says, in that case, it's obvious that he was just doing Ramos. He was just doing Ramos. He was just fooling around with Shimon. His intention was to close with Levi the whole time. And Shimon clearly brought him the deal and closed the deal. Then he says to Shimon, I don't like Levi. And he calls in Levi to a side room and they close the deal with Adam. That's a Ramos and that's Geneva. But that you owe Shimon 100% of the brokerage because he brought you the deal. And that's this whole long Pesachei Tshuva here where he brings this down. Okay. However, says in Noida Yehuda, what happens in the case of the Shulchan Aruch? Right? Reuven tells Shimon, I don't want to close with Levi. And then what happens is, he closes with Levi with a different broker, with Yehuda. Okay, so now, why did he do that? He wasn't going to save the brokerage anyway. So what's Taka Pshat in this guy? Why did he send away Shimon and then bring in Yehuda to do the same deal? So if Yehuda is his brother-in-law, what? So the Noida Yehuda says it's very different than the first case. If he sent away the broker and then closed on his own, so he was just trying to get out of the fees. So you got to pay the entire 100% of the brokerage to Shimon. But if the case was that, and this Noida Yehuda is the fundamental tshuva that stels avek, that there's multiple, sometimes shadchanim, or multiple brokers on a deal. And he says, the reason why he chose Yehuda is because he figured, or Yehuda brought him the deal in a different light, that now he's more comfortable with it. He had better terms. Or he packaged it in a way that was, look, I have a deal for you, but listen, I know you don't like Levi, but let me explain to you what's going on. There's nobody else out there. He's a good buyer. We're gonna get the terms done. Let's just smooth it over. Let bygones be bygones. And he talks him through and he closes the deal. So he says, in that case, would the rush really hold, they have to pay Shimon? I didn't get rid of Shimon because I was trying to get out of the fees. I broke off with Shimon because I didn't want to do the deal. The Haraya, I don't mind doing the deal with the broker because I closed with Yehuda. So he says in that case, the Rosh did not mean that you pay the brokerage to Shimon. Avad there, you have to pay the brokerage to Yehuda because he's the one that was able to close the deal. So what does the Shulchan Aruch mean that you have to pay Shimon? So he says this is the Yisrael, that when there's two brokers in a deal, they both have a schus. And this is the idea of there's the maschil and then there's the goymer. There's the guy who started and there's the goymer.
What's considered a maschil? Because today, for example, that every deal can be in the internet.
Okay, so good. I agree. So there's a tshuva from a Moshe. Well, let's get to it. So Zokten, this is what I'm saying. We have to start from the Noidib Yehuda lived before WhatsApp. There was a door before WhatsApp, believe it or not. So let's take one step at a time, and then we trickle down. So the Noidib Yehuda says that the guy that was the maschil, that's the kavan of the rush, gets kefi the minig amedina of the maschil because he brought him the deal. And let's add on a step further in the Svara. Perhaps Yehuda would not have been able to close the deal if it weren't for the fact that Shimon had mentioned it to Reuben once. A lot of times, a guy, oh, look, I don't want to close with Levi, just get out of here. All of a sudden, 2 weeks later, someone comes with the exact same idea. Oh, maybe I got to think about it again, right? It's not a quote. Maybe he's talking to the only guy that wants it. And now you start thinking about it again, right? So he says the fact that Shimon brought it to him is very likely part of why Yehuda was able to close the deal. Memela, Shimon gets a third. And Yehuda gets, oh, he doesn't say a third. He just says he gets the Shulchanos, the Sarsuras of the Maschil, and the Goymer gets the Iker. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the minig Medina is that the maschil gets a third and the goymer gets two thirds of the deal. Okay, so let's take it a step further to Ramosha's case. We're going to get to your case. I saw a very interesting. I was thinking about your Shaila. I saw brought down the opposite. I'll get to it in a minute. So Ramosha's case was it's a tshuva back in Tafshin Yudches. When's Tafshin Yud Ches? I don't know if it's in there. Tafshin Yud Ches is what, 60 years ago? 65 years ago? So he said that someone wanted to buy a property for $17,000. Okay, I don't know what that was, 65 years ago, whatever. So he wanted to buy, he told the broker, I want to sell it. I don't want to sell it for less than 17. If you're going to sell for less than 17, I could find my own person for 12, 13. I don't need you to get me a buyer for less than that. I'm only willing to pay the brokerage if you're going to get me a deal at that price. He brings a buyer for less, back and forth, the deal falls through. A few months later, the property still did not sell. A few weeks later, the guy, the owner, starts advertising in the newspapers, and the original buyer who heard about it from the broker and offered like 13 came back. What was the exact case? And he contacted dad. He saw the ad. He contacted the guy. He said, "I'll pay you, you know, not the 17, but I'll pay you whatever. I'll pay you the 13 that you advertised for." And let's do the deal. Obviously, the broker finds out that this buyer buys it from him, and he wants to get the brokerage. The other guy says, "No, I don't do you. I got it from the ad in the newspaper." So, is there any chiyuv to the first guy? So, Moshe basically says the same thing. He says you have to ask the buyer. This thing was being advertised for a while, and you saw the ads in the news. Why didn't you call up the phone the first time? Teretz is because not everything that's in the classified ads do you follow up on. So if the only reason you followed up on this ad is because you were once introduced to it from the broker, so then the svara is that the broker at least is the maschil. Because Lamaisa, without him, the idea wouldn't have penetrated into your head just from seeing that.
The broker was 17.
What?
The broker, because it was still being commissioned, it was higher than the person.
Correct. buyer. That's what he's saying. He's saying because
you know the price of where he was willing to sell.
Okay, but you wouldn't have even gotten this without the broker. So therefore, he's saying that since the broker is the one that put the idea in his head, therefore, even if he was goymer without any broker at all, you still have to pay him like the master. That's where Moshe's truva. So this is very negeya. Okay, so this is where Moshe's yisoid. Moshe's yisoid is that the maschil gets credit if you can assume. Sometimes it's like that with a shidduch. One guy calls up with an idea, you say no. The second guy calls up with the same idea, and now you say yes. Not because the second one's better, it's just because you keep on hearing it. But if the second guy would have called first, he would have said no also. So why did you say yes? Because he was second, not first. So it means the first guy is also part of it. Lemaisa, right? Means every time that someone called, they got credit for it. Okay? So there was a complicated deal, and then I used this to pass in the Shaila. Basically, there was a let's call it there was a yeshiva or something like that that was buying a property, forget it's too complicated. Let's just keep it as there was Reuben and Shimon. We're Reuben and Shimon. Reuben was looking into a property, and Shimon had heard about it, just like you said, because someone posted it on a chat at this property. So Shimon had heard about it, but he didn't go after it because he assumed, look, I think Reuben's going to want it. Since I think Reuben's going to want it, let's just Reuben have it. But nice guy. Let Reuben have it. And Reuben has his broker, and he's working with his broker. Reuben then decides that he wants to go in with a shutfis. He wants a partnership on this. He doesn't want to buy it himself. He calls up Shimon, and he says, Shimon, hey, you want to go in with me the shutfis on this property? He says, well, of course I do. As a matter of fact, I saw the property, but I saw that it was available. I didn't want to follow up with it because I thought you were interested. But you want to bring me in? No problem. Fine. So now they're going to go in b'shutfis. Now the brokers have a big machlokes here. Reuven's broker says, I brought the deal. It's my deal. The fact that Reuven went ahead and brought Shimon, that's fine, but I brought the whole deal to Reuven. Shimon brought Reuven in, and it's my deal. Shimon's broker says, one second, if Shimon's buying it, it's my deal on half. Right? So Reuven's broker says, I have the whole deal. Shimon's broker says, no, but I brought Shimon to the table. Right? So, you hear the Shaila? So does Shimon's broker get anything?
Is Shimon an LP or a GP? Like, is he a limited partner or like?
50-50.
50-50.
So what I wanted to Taina was, and I got them both to agree to this, that was good, that Shimon's broker should get 1/6 of the total brokerage. What's the cheshbon? Half of the brokerage right away, half of the brokerage goes right away to Reuven's guy. On Shimon's chelek, Shimon's broker was the maschil. Because when Reuven called up Shimon and said, do you want to come in on the deal? And Shimon says, sure, I'll jump in. Why do you jump in so quickly? Maybe because he had heard about it once from his own broker. Now, he didn't follow through with that deal, but he had heard about it, and that was what made it easier for Reuven to bring in Shimon as a shutif. So Mamela Shimon's shutif on his half was a maschil, and therefore he should get a third of his half of the deal. So he should get a sixth of the total. Like the good pshara. So they asked, is this pshara or is this deal? I said, this is the deal.
Reuven, maybe without Shimon will not be able to.
What?
Also, Reuven, without Shimon as a partner.
No, he can go to the next guy. Can't close. He'll figure it out. But I think that's the heart of the psak on this. Is based on Ramosha's tshuva. Is because since it was easy for Shimon to jump in because he had heard about it once, then Shimon's guy is at least the maskil. And Mamela, he gets a third, but he only gets a third of his half. and therefore he gets a sixth of the total. Okay? So this is Maisim B'chol Yoim, obviously, like you said. Now, what's considered a maskil? So you're asking a shayla like this. A guy posts every 5 minutes, you know, or once a week, he posts a list of how's available. I look at the list, Viter. Then, and the guy calls me up. He says, I have this great house for you. It's perfect for you. Let me show you. And it was on that first list. So did that first guy even get like a maskil? So the shayla that I saw, interesting enough, was the opposite shayla. Does the second guy get anything? So I'm like, the second guy? The shell's not the second guy. The shell's the first guy. The second guy did all the work. So
what's the first guy doing other than taking usually public information and sharing it? Unless it's, you know.
He's doing enough that you saw it from him, right? So there's 10 condos available in Miami Beach. There's 10 condos available. Okay. The guy calls me up and he says, this one has a good view. This is the one. This is good for, I know you're looking for a condo there. I have condo 101. Let's go check it out. This is good for you. That's his Shiloh. Who gets who's the Sarsar on that? Right? On the one hand, I saw all of them, but I couldn't have followed through with all of them. I would have just ignored it. But on the other hand, does he even get like a mask? I'm not sure. And this safer, he like clears the other way around. To me, it's a chiddush that he should even clear that. So it sounds like from him that, again, I think Rav Moshe says that the buyer is nemo, because the buyer doesn't care. The buyer has no skin in this. He doesn't really care. So I think Rav Moshe says that the buyer is nemo. You think he does care? Because
no, they like they sell, you know, people buy a list of leads, you know, 10,000 leads. So maybe the person who sold the list of leads should get a commission of everything.
That's between him and the broker. He has to be a maskil. He can get a maskil to the last five. But the according to Ramesha, the buyer is Neman.
It makes a difference to the buyer sometimes. Because
the reason it makes a difference to the buyer, you're saying, is because he wants to have a relationship with the broker?
No, because sometimes whatever is the leasing agent, that it was hired by the seller to do the property. So for example, he gets 5%. He needs to share with someone, and our broker will get 2.5%. So this is a reality. I'm not saying that everyone does it, but if someone's a listing agent and gets the client directly, the buyer directly, he will push for that one on the same conditions.
I missed that, but
it's the whole 5%.
I know, but why is that different to the buyer?
So if someone, the buyer, got through another agent, okay, let's say I'm asking, but then he get it also from the listing agent, the buyer is in better position going directly with the listing.
Why?
He will push more to his offer. He can say, instead of charging 6%, or charge 5%.
That's a shayla of who's going to actually do the work. I'm talking about Lemaisa, who's going to get the money.
It's in better chance that buyer if he was ready to the same leasing.
Okay. You're very sophisticated.
If the broker's going to get the full commission,
he's going to work for it.
He's going to push someone who's getting the full commission.
Right. Okay. Assuming that the buyer doesn't have negius, so Rav Moshe says the buyer is neman to say that the buyer is neman to say, yeah, I only considered what you told me because I already saw it, or yeah, this guy's driving me nuts every day with another thing. I never pay attention to what he sends me. You're telling me something real. Let's go for it. Not nuke the first guy. So I think he's saying the buyer has that nemonos to say it. And if the buyer ends up saying that I would not have done the deal or at least it pushed me along, the fact that I had already heard about it, he would be nemon to say that the other guy's the mask. Sir Moshe writes, assuming that he's not Negev Adab. Okay, that's how he sets up the Shiloh. Okay, obviously, like you're saying, is in Ladavar Soif, and exactly what's considered a maskil, an idea, and you heard about it at once. But you know, now someone asked me a shayla, which is not negia to Hilchas brokers, but I guess it's negia to the broker. It's really negia Geneva, or Geneva's Das at least. But we spoke about it at a different time, and so he basically. So he's obviously representing the buyer, this guy. And the buyer wants to buy some sort of commercial property or whatever. He's not commercial. He wants to buy a house to flip it. And it was a shracha house. It's not in the city at all. It's out of the state. He wants to buy a house. So the asking price was $500, and his buyer offered $450. And the seller wasn't taking it at $450. He was convinced he could get $500. So he wants to go ahead and call up another person and say, can I put in an offer in your name at $420? If I put an offer in your name at $420, he's going to realize no one's paying $500 and he's going to take my $450 offer. That was the shot. So I told him that there's a Me'iri. We learned together the Me'iri. There's a Me'iri at the end of the fourth parak about Metzia. Me'iri says like this. The Gemara says that if you go into a store and you have no intention of buying anything, the halacha is it's considered einas dvarim or gnevas das. So why do you think it's gnevas das? Most people think because you got his hopes up. You got his hopes up that he's going to buy, he's going to sell something, and now he didn't. He's all upset. You got him sad. Okay. But Me'iri says, no, it's much worse than that. Because Me'iri says, he came to the store. He asked you, how much is that diamond ring? And you said, $3,000. Okay. Oh, very nice. Continue window shopping and you leave. Okay. You never had an intention to buy. What does the guy think to himself? Next guy, better say $2,800 because no one's buying it at $3,000. So now you were mafsed him. You were mafsed him money. It wasn't just you made him feel bad. It's not just making him feel bad. It's mamsh hezek. Because you went in there and didn't buy it, he's convinced now that he's overpriced. And therefore, he's going to start lowering his prices.
So this would apply to like a big like chain where the owner's not in the store.
No, probably. No, big thing, right? And public is not like, you got to lower Cheerios to like 473 because it's, you know. But I'm saying in a Hamish play, the guy walks in, you know, he's dealing with the buyer and he walks out, then he's going to assume that if it would have been a better price, he would have bought it. And that's not true. So I said, this is mamish, not maybe. You're coming to do the Me'iri's thing. You're coming to tell him a fake price that he should lower his price. So it's gnevas das. Now, the only thing I did tell him is that if, let's say the guy at 400, at 425, would be willing to buy it for 425. But he wouldn't ever put in that offer because why would the guy sell? But I'd talk about it for that. So maybe they're different because the taka, the guy this is the highest he would go. He wouldn't go higher than that. And he would pay for that. Now, this guy's not in the market, not really interested in the house, but for $425, I would buy it. So there, Yesh Ladon, maybe it's different because that's a real offer. That's taka real, right? Now, if it's real, why didn't he do it? He didn't do it because he knows, like, you don't call up assets on the market for $1 million and say, hey, give it to me for $600. There's just no reason to make that offer, but I would take it for $600. So there maybe it's a little better. Why'd I think of this? Because the first shaila I was telling you about, Reuven and Shimon with the partnership, who gets a broker, I was at an event and I was telling someone this shaila. You know, broker who gets it, a third, a sixth, and I told him that person who I was talking to, his brother-in-law got this other shaila, and he called me up and he said, my brother-in-law told me that you were learning the halachas of the brokers and I had this shaila. So, you know, it's like, it's chav islay, but these are all sorts of...
It's the brokerage for the shaila.
Right. One last shaila, which is also, has to do with residual, but it's interesting. Shaila says a guy brings to the table, a guy selling a big commercial property, and the broker brings a good deal. The guy's selling the commercial property, and I guess it's the other way around. He's representing the buyer, and he goes in and finds the property. So he finds the buyer a good commercial property. So fine. Now, Lemaisa, the guy comes back and says, I'll sell him the property. I'll sell him the property, but I want to lease it back for a year. So that for me to get out of there, it's a commercial property. When we get out of there, I need a year. So now the broker says, I want the commission on the sale, but I also want the commission on the rental. Right? Because I found your tenant. I found your property, and then I found your tenant also. So do I get, does he get the commission on the rental? What? Right. So what's the comment?
It's usually a product of the brokerage agreement that talks about if you lease it as part of the sale, or it's a purchase to buy with rental. All of these are negotiated. Obviously, when you skimped up, it wasn't negotiated.
No.
So it's either about system. You know, what is the normative?
What is a normative? Problem.
So you would get, even if it was a tenure or whatever, you would get that 1 year worth of commission. You get some form of commission from that.
On the lease also.
Yeah, that's the only way that
in halacha, strictly speaking, in halacha, the vart would be like this: if that lease was part of the negotiation of the purchase, so then he would get the full brokerage on that because that was one of the terms, and for him to negotiate the terms. So I was really your shliach to do the whole deal, and I was just there to do anything that was entailed in doing the deal. And part of what was entailed in doing the deal is getting this lease, and therefore I was your shliach for that as well. But if, let's say, it wasn't part of the essentially part of the thing, it came in afterwards, you know, or it wasn't contingent on it. So then it would come out that these two dinim we started with, it would be a difference. On the sale, you're a hired broker. And on the rental, you're a yoyud. And you get a different percentage rate of hana. Again, legally, I don't know, but I'm saying in halacha, you would be a different type of sarsi, a different type of broker, because you brought him the deal as a volunteer. So you got him hana, but it was a volunteer deal, it wasn't a mukhrach deal, and therefore the price would be different. One other thing, what happens if there is the price goes down because of a separate deal. And let's say the broker brokers a deal, the sale price is $1 million. Now these people, the buyer and the seller, happen to be involved in a different deal that the buyer owes the seller anyway. I guess the seller owes the buyer anyway $100,000 from a different deal. So say, instead of paying all these taxes, and let's just knock the sale price down to 900. So does the broker get the brokerage on the million or the 900? So you think?
Because the other has nothing to do with this property.
No, you seem to
think. He's paying the 100,000 just by offsetting.
Right. So Lemaisa, the contract price is going to be probably, I don't know how they're going to write it.
By contract price, someone's going to pay. Let's do 500 over, the same was 500.
Right. Okay.
A real deal. Something.
You said that, not me. But what's the legal? What's the legal?
Someone what do you say? The Brahma Hamar, Burma is about to use the sacred, so I need the money on the table.
Probably he's right. Probably the halacha would be that you would get the broker. You brought him a deal of $1 million. The fact that now I guess in the HUD and this, they're probably going to write maybe now. I don't know if they're going to write it as $1 million with a credit of 100, or they're just going to write it at 900 to begin with. But that's another shaila. Okay, so these are all different. I'm sure there's a lot of other scenarios and shailas. But start with this. I'm gonna just remind everybody. I'm gonna put on the chat today. We're running our campaign for Kyle, so I'm gonna put on the link. Everyone has the opportunity to participate. Most people did, and yeshe koach. Yes.
Okay.